Eugene Mobile.
AR. U2T at home. We are too, by golly. I heard somebody sign mobile there a minute ago, but I was drinking my sand and washing my glass out here, so I didn't catch who it was, Rusty. Well, Bernice hasn't got your mask made yet, but she was working on some last night. Oh, shoot, I was just firing up the computer here and seeing what was going on. I'm watching a show called Alaska Railroad. It's really interesting because my dad was a railroader for 42 years. This is 0TR.
Grandfathers, both of them on my dad's side and my mother's side, were both worked with the railroad for many years. My mom's dad, he worked for the Seaboard Airline, which became the Seaboard Coastline, and he headed up a track crew. It was him and 250 workers, and that they went up and down the coast replacing bad track and things like that, and doing repairs. And then my dad's father worked for the Illinois Central as an engineer. He ran the engines for him, so he had a good job there, and he retired from there. Both of them were retired, you know, railroad men. And nobody else in the family went that way.
Nobody else went that way in our family either. It was a rough job back then. Dad started out in, I think, 48 or somewhere along that area. It might have been before that. And he was shoveling coal into the steam engines. And about that time, in a little past 1950, somewhere in that area, the diesels come into being, thank God. Mom said he used to come home and just walk through the door and lay down on the floor and go to sleep after a run of 211 miles down and back to Heavener, Oklahoma. He was on the Kansas City Southern Railroad, and she said there wasn't a white spot on him because of the coal, of course. And he worked his way up to engineer for many years and actually was the head of the union there for many years. It was his life. When he retired, that was the end of his life. He just didn't know what to do with himself.
Well, Patrick, he, of course, he had lots of kids. I mean, my dad was one of 11 kids. There were nine boys and two gals, so there were 11 kids there. So he had lots of kids and grandkids and all that to take care of, and he got to travel around, and, you know, he, like I said, he retired as a head of the, as somewhere high up in the engineers category of the, for that Illinois Central and whatever it became after that. So, anyway, and then he, of course, he, you know, he, my other grandfather, my grandpa Weeks, he became a farmer. And he enjoyed doing that, too. So, you know, it's what it is.
My dad got laid off in the late 50s for, I think about 3 months. And so he ran out and bought a mom-and-pop grocery store. And that was about when all the big supermarkets started coming in. And so, of course, we were stuck with that sucker for, I worked in the store for probably 10 years, and it just took everything away from having a mom, and my dad was gone on the railroad all the time because he got called back. My mom was working all the time, and so it really, as far as I'm concerned, screwed up our childhood, and but I did love the railroad. I used to ride on the passenger trains and go to Kansas City or down to Heavener and stay all night with my dad there and come back. And that was a lot of fun for me when I was real young. I had my own, I still got my own pass for the railroad, but it's no good, of course. There ain't no passenger trains there now. But I kept it. And it was a lot of fun, and I'd go over and take his lunch to him and ride around in the yards with him when he was working hostler and helper, when he was on the extra board. And they'd fuel and sand the engines and that, and all he did was drive them. But it was a lot of fun to a young kid back then.
It would be, I imagine it would be. And like I said, by the time, I got to see a lot of my grandpa's, both of them had retired by that time. Because I was moving around a lot, my dad being in the service, we got transferred, often enough that, ended up being a thing of where we went, where we were going next,
I didn't stay in Rusty. One of the reasons. I just wanted to be home with Mama, and I didn't care to be moving all over the world. Well, what'd your dad do in the service? I don't know if I ever heard you mention that.
He was a personnelman. He was a first-class personnelman, and he had just made chief, and he made chief, and he didn't live long enough. He didn't live the 6 months. Back then, in the 50s, you had to live 6 months to be able to put your crow on for the next rank, and he missed it by a month, so he passed away as a first class, but he had like 17 or 18 years in at that time.
Well, TR, well, that's unfortunate. My brother and I was stationed in North Island, San Diego, and flew out of there for a year and a half and did all my flight training there and was actually, our squadrons was deployed with the USS Bennington. And he had gallbladder surgery, and when he come out, he was eligible for a transfer, so he went to a P3 squadron up in San Francisco, actually Mountain View, California. So I put in for duty with brother, and him and I went to Vietnam together and on our senior cruise, hi. And he wanted me to stay in, but I didn't want no part of it. And I think I made the right decision, because it was good for him. He later became a Master Chief Personnelman and retired from the Military Personnel Command in Washington, D.C., and went right back to work 6 months later at the same place for the same admiral.
When he passed away in 1957, he was stationed at the 8th Naval District Headquarters out there in San Diego.
My brother had friends there, and that was the only way I ever got transferred, because my commander, of course, I was a second class, actually an AE at the time, and I had put in for AW and got that. But I didn't get that till after I transferred, but he recommended disapproval because he didn't want me to go. And Ronnie's commander, he approves that. And it's an interesting story, but Ronnie had friends in EPTOPAC there, which is probably where you're talking about, Enlisted Personnel Division of the Pacific Fleet, and he rushed those orders through. Now, I'll never forget, he told me, he says, you take those orders after he signs them and go over to the air terminal there, which was right across from our squadron. And he says, you wait there, and when a P-3 Orion lands, there'll be an officer come down that ladder, and you hand him those orders, and then you call me back on that Navy phone system and tell me when it's in the air. And then you go back to the hangar and wait. And later that evening, my Chief Savage come running down the stairs, and he says, Rouse, what'd you do? Call your congressman. And I think Ronnie said there was a second-class personnelman pulled those orders.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, my dad, like I said, he's buried out there at the military facility out there, the military site out there, Point Mogu, I think it is. And, you know, that's where he is, and my mother's buried here in South Carolina where she was from, so we came back here after he died, and, you know, that's the way it went and everything, so, oh, it is what it is, you know.
Roger. Send your chair. When Ronnie was first in, he joined to get away from my dad, and he went in when he was 17, and when he first went in, he was at Point Magoo for a while. One of those places he was at was a missile place, and then he was on crash boats. He was just a seaman when he started out, of course, and so they go out, and the crash boats pick up the drones after the aircraft shot them down, and that was where he started out at. So he was in Magoo for a while.
That's where Dad is buried out there, and I haven't been back out there, and that's been a long time, and all my sister went out there. She was stationed out of San Diego for a while, or she went through there, and she was stationed at Hawaii and over there at Naval Air Station in Hawaii because she was an air traffic controller back then. She had some interesting places that she went, that's for sure. So it was, you know, she got around more than I did because she was an air traffic controller for about the first 11, 12 years of her service. And then for the last years until she retired with 22 years, she was an aircraft hull tech. She used to work on the skins of airplanes, and so that's the way it went, you know.
Yeah, I always wished I could have been an air traffic controller. I couldn't be a pilot because, well, first off, I didn't have a degree. And second off, my eyes were lousy. I was nearsighted. And I was lucky to get in a flight crew. And the air traffic controller was one place I thought I could get. And you couldn't because you had to have 20/20 there. But my my son-in-law's uncle that lives here, he's a Marine, and he was stationed at Hawaii as an air traffic controller. But mostly he played basketball for the Marine Corps, he said.
Well, you know, it does a lot of that. So, you get a, you know, my dad, of course, he was real short. He wasn't tall enough to be a basketball player or anything like that. He was a, you know, he was a short guy. And, in fact, I ended up being taller than him. I did, my brother did, both of us got taller, and my dad leveled out at a height is what I am now, which is about 5'7", and I'm 5'7½", so, and all right now, but that's the way, you know, he ended up, he was only about 5'7", and so it was a, you know, it was a thing like that, and, but anyway, so, what are you planning to do today? Anything particular?
It's in Gerald T.R. No, just go outside and work. I got to open up a package here from Amazon. I got some electronic shooting muffs. And, boy, they've come down in price. These are like $23 or something. They're supposed to be 25 decibel noise reduction. I got a pair, but I wanted a pair for the grandsons. They're really nice. And you can talk, and then if you shoot, it automatically cuts it off before it harms your ears. But speaking of unusual jobs, my brother-in-law up in Kansas that I was so close with, and he was on the farm up there, and he was in a P-2V Neptune squadron, predecessor to the P-3s, and he was on the wrestling team for the United States Navy, so that's primarily all he got to do. Supposedly he was an airline mechanic, or, you know, an AD, I think they called him, Rusty. But no, out and rake up some leaves out in the front yard, that maple tree. Every time it blows, those suckers fall all over my nice grass. So I think I might go out and try to rake those if it warms up enough. It says it's 67 degrees, winds out of the northeast, gusting to 9 miles an hour right now. So pretty darn cool for this old man.
Get up in very low 70s today, so, and I'm not going to go out there. I got to go out. I want to go out and do some stuff and everything, but I got to get all my stuff together so I can do it. But anyway, I got to go to the post office again today because I've got something else coming in that I've got to pick up, and so I'll wait till after they get all the boxes filled, which is now, and then I can go out and see what they've got there. Anyway, Bob, you have a good day, you and Bernice, and we'll talk to you later. N0TR, W2T.
Business on all, Rusty. Yeah, enjoyed the visit. I don't turn this one on up here as much, but I'm going to have to start doing that. This is the one upstairs here, and I can watch TV at the same time. I'm watching something called Alaska Railroads. I don't know if we have spectrum streaming, I guess you call it. It's only $19.95 a month, but we get plenty of channels for us because we get over-the-air stuff. But this Alaska Railroads, it's really interesting. It's kind of like Life Below Zero, only for the railroad. And ironically, you mentioned line crews and kinfolk being ahead of a line crew. That's a rough life. But they have a lot of those on here where they're out repairing the ice falls and all of that stuff and frozen switches, etc. Now, if you ever watch them, they got automatic tie layers and everything, but it's still a rough way to make a living, I'll tell you. Especially in Alaska. I admire folks that can get out like that. It's kind of like the electrical workers. I admire them out on the lines because that's a rough life. They're repairing a cracked rail here now. You take care. Talk to you later. 73 is a Sender OTR.